Unless God builds the house. In loving memory of my nephew, Yishai Eliakim Orbach, who fell in Gaza 1 year ago, a few weeks after setting out to build his own home. Shir HaMa'alot, a song of essence of Solomon. Unless God builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Psalms 127. Human beings cannot truly build alone. What we build by ourselves, the psalmist suggests, cannot ultimately endure. And yet, one of the most beloved songs sung in Israel on Yom HaAtzmaut insists, I built a house in the land of Israel. Human initiative, human courage, labor, and creativity stands at the heart of the Zionist ethos. Even in religious communities where the day is marked by the recitation of Hallel, a prayer of gratitude to God, the name of the day itself, Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day, centers the human story. Some Jews objected to the state of Israel for precisely this reason. But even if we assume, as I do, that the founding of the state was a positive event, and that human beings are not only permitted, but sometimes obligated, to shape the world they wish to inhabit. The verse still presses its question, unless God builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. How can we reconcile the empowering experience of human capability, the blessed ideal of independence, with the humble, reflective, religious voice that insists we cannot build anything alone? And what does this mean for how Jews should relate to the phenomenon called the State of Israel? One possible answer lies in the psalm preceding my opening quote, one that we regularly sing during Birkat HaMazon for Shabbat and festivals. Shuvah Hashem et Shevitenu, God, restore our fortunes like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Though one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, they shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The psalm begins with a plea, God, restore our fortune. The speaker recognizes that redemption requires divine help. But immediately afterward, the poem turns back to human action. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. For many years, I understood this verse in a simple way. The road is difficult, but in the end, things will turn out well. That was until I encountered the following teaching from Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Heschel of Apta, the Apta Rebbe. In this lies the essence of faith and trust. The person who sows diminishes their wealth by spending it on seed and exerts themselves in the labor of the field, in fertilizing, plowing, and harvesting, because they trust that later they will gain much from it. The lazy person folds their hands, for they lack faith and trust. They say in their heart, why should I trouble myself, diminishing my wealth on seed and exhausting my strength in working the land, when it is all uncertain? Perhaps nothing will grow. Surely anyone who sees such a person will laugh and say they are a complete fool, a madman. The most basic act of a person of faith, the Apta Rebbe suggests, is to sow. Sowing is a gamble. There is something irrational about it. Who says anything will grow? Who guarantees that the builder's labor will not be in vain? And yet, it would be madness not to sow. One cannot live without trust in the future. In this sense, sowing is a powerful model for holding the tension between confidence in human action and submission to divine providence. The sower is active and engaged, yet never deludes himself into thinking they are fully in control. The very fact that the process leading to germination is hidden from sight reminds them that while they must sow carefully, watering, tending, protecting, the outcome is not entirely in their hands. This is why on Yom HaAtzmaut we can sing, I built a house in the land of Israel. We celebrate the freedom the Jews long for across generations to build homes and plant seeds in their land. And yet honesty demands that we admit something difficult. We do not know whether this national home will endure. We do not know whether this national home will endure, or whether, God forbid, those who build it labor in vain. This awareness creates a double responsibility. On the one hand, we must continue sowing the seeds of the great dream of return. On the other hand, we must continually examine ourselves, ensuring that we leave room for God to join us in building this house, cultivate patience, and strive to be morally worthy of the project. In Israel, not only seeds are planted in the earth. Sons and daughters, mothers and fathers are buried as well, lowered into the ground with tears by loving hands and hearts full of doubt, struggling to believe that their loss will not be in vain. Our partnership in building this house means that we also bear the terrible cost of its construction. That is why the celebration of Independence Day is preceded by the grief of Memorial Day, Yom HaZikaron, when we pause before the joy and sit with the pain. Even here, we carry a double and paradoxical responsibility to continue showing up for the work of building, ready to bear its cost, and at the same time, never to stop imagining a world where sacrifices are no longer a necessity. For if God truly joins us in building this house, it cannot remain only ours. It must become what the prophet calls, Ki beiti beit tfila yikare lechol ha'amim. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Only such a house can ultimately become the world envisioned by the prophet Isaiah and read as the Haftarah for Yom Ha'atzmaut. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with a kid. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the sea.